Hi, everyone. Just a quick note, there's still one reading and two tools to sign up for online if you are able and willing. Thanks.
Thanks, Heidi.
Howard, should I begin or wait a couple minutes?
It's 6 o'clock. I think we can start.
All right, fantastic. Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Minnesota OA How Live meeting. My name is Maureen, and I am a compulsive overeater and your leader for this meeting.
Hi, Maureen. Welcome.
Thanks for your service.
Thanks. This is a meeting conceived to bring an added dimension of realism to our remote OA community. Our goal is to share the power of recovery via a meeting that is safe and by its nature very visual. We want to welcome all those attending. You may reference our attendee guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting, either by video or by phone, before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, which is mnhowlive.org. That's mnhowlive.org. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meetings, readings, and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or tool via our meetings live chat. Only 2 hour OA House sponsors share on tools. If you need technical help, you can register for a coaching session on Monday or Thursday evenings via our Sign Up Genius form. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish, join us in saying the Serenity. God, grant me serenity
to accept the things
I cannot change.
I cannot change.
The courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference.
I will not mine be done.
Amen. This evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Me.
Oh, yes, right over
here. I've got a lot of us.
Yay, I'm so happy not to be alone. Yay. Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care list, and a copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Please also add that in the chat if you'd like a copy. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read, What is How?
Hi, I'm Nancy, compulsive overeater. What is How?
Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hands in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions using How sponsoring stemmed from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York sponsor's guide. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
Would someone please read The Only Requirement?
I see a Nancy P. Oh, there's Jane. Hi.
Hi. Is Nancy P here? Is she?
No. You would need to raise her hand because the meeting is silent here. Nope.
Okay. I shall read. I'm Jane, compulsive overeater.
Thanks, Jane.
And this is, hi, this is the only requirement, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do not suggest, however, that any group has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the How concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We at Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. And I can read the next
Thank
one.
Thank you, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane. If someone else would like to read the How concept, they can. If not, I'm happy to read it.
Has anyone signed up for it?
Looks like Bryn's hand is up.
Bryn, did you want to read it? The How concept? All right, Jane, I think if you'd like to read it for us, that'd be great.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
The How concept. The Overeaters Anonymous How meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary to our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the How of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the How ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Jane. Appreciate it. Very nice. Would someone please read reflections for the newcomer?
Good evening. This is Karen. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, Karen. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. We're having a very bad storm here, so if I disconnect, that's what's going on. Excuse me. Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you've decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal principle. I mean, universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there's a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Doctor's opinion, Big Book, page 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. This is from the family afterward, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen. There. Okay, would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
That's me. I just got to see if I can get this here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Deirdre.
Oh, great. Okay, so here goes. All right. Oops. Excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, page 9 through 11, starting at paragraph 2.
Deirdre,
when we look with,
is your video able to be on so we can see you?
I'm doing this on my phone. I had the video on just a second. Let me see if I can do that. If you hold on for a second, I'll give it a try.
Oh, there it is. There you are. Very nice.
I got to read the reading from my phone, so then I don't know if you can see me. Sorry.
That's okay. So whatever's possible.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, when we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We've eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We've continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized, analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctor gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food into our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our quote-unquote ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problems. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged, so we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being abused, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered. Yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery.
Thank you so much, Deirdre.
Thanks, Deirdre.
Thanks, Deirdre.
Can someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut.
Hi, Ruth. Hey, welcome.
Hi, Ruth. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Pass.
Thank you so much, Ruth. Thank you. Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hey, all. It's Megan in Virginia.
Hi, Megan.
Megan, welcome.
Hey, all. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to to the compulsive overeater and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. And that's from the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. I pass.
Thank you, Megan.
Appreciate it. Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
I am Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Kelly.
Welcome. Everybody.
The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those we serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help you recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
What?
Wow, gee.
No way.
Shocking. Really? Shocking. So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that how sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. I guess Sheila has agreed already to be timekeeper?
That is correct, yes.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thanks, Sheila.
So participants will receive their timing prompts via chat. Is that correct? Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Would someone please share on abstinence plan of eating?
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Heidi. Hi, Heidi.
I'm trying to do this one-handed here on my phone. The plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend on each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. Number one, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. We weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye this one or this one. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale, and I'm going to describe that. I'm going to flip my phone around here. Here we go. So this is an electronic scale most of us use. It's handy. You can just turn it on and it'll say zero. And you can put your plate on there and the little tear or zero button, you zero it out. You can put your food in. If I get, you know, exactly 3 ounces of chicken or 1 1/8 ounce of a measuring cup, I go until it's exactly that. If it's a little more, I take a little out, or if it's not quite there, I put a little in. The important thing is to be honest and consistent. And then I can zero it out again and put my starch in. If I get 3 ounces of potato, I can put that in until it's exactly 3.0. So I can build a plate that way and have fewer dishes. If you don't have batteries or you want to start with something a little less expensive, there is a spring-loaded scale, no batteries needed. The key is to make sure it's on zero and on a level surface. Again, you just put your food in the top. And you want to make sure it crosses exactly the line. If I get, you know, 2 ounces of, well, I don't do 2 ounces of anything. If I get 3 ounces of chicken, I want to make sure that it's right on the line of the three, not, you know, for me, not 6 or 7 or 8 ounces, but, you know, right on the three, not a little less or a little over. I want to be honest and I want to be consistent. So that's what I'm doing with that. The cups and the spoons, these are for fats, the spoons generally, for either like salad dressing or nuts or seeds, peanut butter, different things like that, whatever your food plan calls for, that's a fat in a tablespoon or a teaspoon amount. The point with this is to put your item in there and then level it off with a straight edge, not my finger or, you know, it's not heaping, it's not a scoop, it's a measuring spoon, and I get what's in the spoon. And what's outside the spoon or on the straight edge is not mine. I don't eat that. And the same goes for the cup. If I get a cup of cooked vegetables, which I did have for dinner, I do scoop it in and I kind of pack it in. And that's good. My time's up for that. So read the plan or talk to a sponsor and get the rest of it. But the one thing I do want to say, which I'll mention in my 3 minutes at the end. So number four, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Unless otherwise advised by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. Number six, we do not drink alcohol. Number seven, foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. And above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts, it is the decision to take it. So the only other piece of the abstinence kit that I wanted to mention is what I'm talking to you on, my phone here. That's the biggest part of the kit for me. Each day I call my sponsor at a designated time and I read to her exactly what I'm gonna eat for that day. Usually for me, it starts with lunch and goes through breakfast the next day. And then I eat exactly that. I just go right on through. I eat a lot of the same things every day. Doesn't bother me. It's fuel. It's not a party in my mouth anymore. Doesn't matter. So I give her exactly what I'm going to have, and then I stick to that. If for whatever reason, sometimes, you know, I get to the end of the day and my husband and I usually share a banana. He gets whatever's over 4 ounces. But sometimes it's not the greatest. It's like ready for a breakfast loaf. So I don't want to eat that. So I will call my sponsor and make a change. And I might change it to 4 ounces of pineapple and blueberry or whatever. If it's an easy change and I can't reach my sponsor, we have it worked out that I text her and I move on. If it's something more challenging than that, like this certainly has happened where I've got my whole salad weighed out, 8 ounces, I've put my dressing on it and I've flipped the whole thing onto the floor. I don't advise eating stuff off the floor. A good portion of it is good, but I don't know. I don't know how much is there and I don't want to think about it. So I just call a sponsor and have them tell me what to do. Someone might say, start all over. Someone might say, well, weigh up what you have left. Like that wouldn't occur to me. Oh, weigh up what you have left. But regardless, I just don't make the decision on my own. So I'm grateful. Without doing the abstinence kit with my food, I really am unable to do the other tools, the other steps. This, I know people say it's step zero. They call it all sorts of things, but for me, it really is without doing this, thanks Sheila, without doing this part of the program, the rest of it is useless for me. I can't think about the rest of it because I'm thinking about, you know, what else I could get or how much peanut butter could I fit? You know, oh, what if I use a tablespoon instead of a teaspoon? I mean, my best meal plan got me to 320 pounds. I am not relying on myself to come up with my meal plan or to put things on it. And some things that are perfectly fine on my meal plan for me to have, they're not good for me. I don't eat them because they mess with my head, even being abstinent. You know, I don't always chew gum. You know, for a long, long time, I didn't chew gum. And now I hardly ever chew gum, but it's allowable, but not a great choice for me. So I just don't have it. It doesn't mean someone else can't have it and be perfectly fine. But the key is that I don't make the choice for myself. So thanks for listening and keep coming back.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Would someone please share with us the tool of sponsorship?
Hi, this is Nancy P. From Minnesota.
Hi, Nancy.
Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA, and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. So find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A HOW sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls. You must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the discipline nature of the OA program. It is not the extra string being that it is the problem. It's the decision to have it that results in some problems. Oh, dear. The how concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and tradition. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our foods. Using the traditions of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meeting, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions in order to free ourselves from the bond of the right to play God. We help each other. We now ask that all sponsors please unmute your phone by pressing *6 and share what type of sponsor you are, your current abstinent date, your current weight loss or gain.
Nancy, you need to share.
Nancy, phone number and time zone.
Nancy, you need to share on the tool.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to read to you on Encourage to Change about sponsorship. They talked about one day I received a phone call from a newcomer. And we chatted for a while, and then he asked if I would consider being his sponsor. I was shocked. I never expected anyone to ask me. I felt deeply humbled and ecstatically grateful at the same time. But had I grown sufficiently to offer help to someone else? Did I have anything to give? Could I be there for someone else without losing myself? Fear took over for a minute, but then I remembered that he was not asking me to be his savior, only his helper, whose example and experience might lead him to his own recovery. I know that my higher power brings people into my life who can help me grow. So I said a quick prayer asking to be worthy and answered that I would be honored to be his sponsor. Being a sponsor is as much a commitment to myself as it is to someone else. It is not a favor. Sponsorship gives me a chance to share intimately, to care, to practice detaching with love, and to apply the Al-Anon and the OA principles more consciously than ever. And if I listen to my own words, I find that I usually tell those whom I sponsor exactly what I myself need to hear. And I have really struggled with sponsorship. I've been in OA How for a little over 4 years. And I've had periods of time that I've had sponsees, and then I've had big long periods where I haven't. And I got really comfortable not having a sponsee until my sponsor said, I needed that for me. And she's exactly right. I now have a sponsee that is totally taking me out of myself. And I think more than anything, as an addict, that it's really easy for me to focus only on myself and what I need. And when I start looking outside of myself, it completely changes my perspective. It gives me a purpose in life. And I'm super grateful for having the opportunity to be able to sponsor. The sponsee that I currently sponsor, I am learning so much from her. I'm sure I'm learning more from her than she is from me. And I think that that's a lot of times how it is. Sponsorship is it's a necessary tool, but it's also a really
a really valuable tool that gives back more than you realize. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
So much, Nancy. For the sake of time, will all How and OA sponsors please join me in sharing only the following? One, how long an OA and how. Two, how long abstinent an OA or how. And how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for sponsee or provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel or pressing *9 on your phone or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line.
Mary?
This is Mary G. in St. Paul, Minnesota. My abstinence date is November 1st, 2012, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Nancy D.
Hello, everyone. It's Nancy D. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Gotcha, Nancy.
Nancy, we can't hear you.
How's that? Alrighty, right on. So this is Nancy D, a compulsive overeater. And I came into the rooms of Howe in September of 2017. And my back-to-back abstinence date is July 3rd of 2018. And I've been relieved of 109 pounds.
Lewis? Crossover Food. My name is Lewis. I'm from Maryland. And I came into OA How in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence date is from January 3rd of last year. And by the grace of God, he has relieved 105 pounds from me.
Kelly C.?
Hi, my name is Kelly. I'm from outside of Philadelphia. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been in my first traditional OA meeting was 17 years ago, but I was blessed with the structure and discipline of OA How in December 2019, which is also my abstinence date, and I have lost about 35 pounds. Thank you, and I pass.
Bryn?
Compulsive overeater, recovering compulsive overeater from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, to our sponsor. My most recent, I originally came in through the doors of OA How in March 2004. The most recent date of absence is October 2007. Out of 554 pounds, I gave away 335. I'm maintaining right now the weight that my doctor recommends that I stay at. So with that, I'll pass.
Nancy R.
Hi, this is Nancy R, compulsive overeater. I am a house sponsor, a two-hour house format, and I started on traditional OA in June 2017. I left after 6 months, and then I started OA How in May 2020. And that is my abstinence day. I released already 13 pounds. Very grateful. Thank you.
Heidi C.
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. I came directly into OA How in October 2007, and I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for almost 7 years, and I chose to leave the program. I quickly gained back 110 pounds and returned a few years later, and I'm currently down 70 pounds and a house sponsor.
Georgia?
Hi, I'm Georgia Kay. I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a two-hour How format sponsor. I came into How in 2005, and my most recent recommitted abstinence date is July 26th of 2018. I'm maintaining a 75 to 80 pound weight loss. Georgia Kay, Madison, Wisconsin, pass.
Ruth?
Hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA house sponsor. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008, and I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss.
Nancy P.
Hi, I'm Nancy P. From Minneapolis area. I am a two-hour OA house sponsor. I came into OA house in April of 2016. I have given away 75 pounds and have lost all need for any kind of blood pressure medication. And I have been at a stable weight for the last 3 years. And with that, I'll pass.
Kelly S.
I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater from Syracuse, New York. And I came into OA How the end of April of this year. I got abstinent May 10th of this year, and I am down about 15 pounds. Thank you.
Mike H.
Hi, I'm Mike, compulsive overeater following the two-hour OA How format, July 19, 2004. My recommitted abstinence date is December 30th of 18. I'm down between 75 and 80 pounds from my peak weight.
Christina.
Hi, everyone. It's Christina in New Mexico. I'm an OA How sponsor. My abstinence date is June 2017, maintaining about a 50-pound weight loss, and really grateful to be here. Thanks.
Chaya.
Hi, everybody. This is Chaya P. in Denver, Colorado, two-hour house sponsor. I have been in Overeaters Anonymous for about 35 years. Very, very grateful to be in the two-hour How community format. My abstinence, I'm also recovered bulimic, compulsive reader, and restrictor, and I'm very grateful. My abstinence date is June 20th, 2019, and I'm maintaining a very healthy body weight thanks to this program.
Megan.
Hi, all. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm a and I'm an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85 to 90 pounds in program twice. I'm a relapse survivor, and I've had an abstinent pregnancy. I passed.
Jane.
I'm Jane, compulsive overeater and two-hour house sponsor. I came into regular OA about 7 or 8 years ago and found the How program September 19th of 2019 and have stuck with it ever since. And I have lost between 12 and 14 pounds. Thanks.
Marlena.
Hi, I'm Marlena. I'm a sponsor with the two-hour How program. And I've been in and out of OA for over 40 years, in OA How for a little over 4 years. And my current back-to-back abstinence date is 422 of this year, and I'm down 55 pounds from my weight.
Erlinda.
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda from Chicago, compulsive overeater. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 11, 2019, and I've been relieved of 63 pounds. I do not have an opening, but I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you.
Howard.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years. I have 19 years and 3 months of abstinence in OA How, and I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I am a sponsor here from Minnesota. I do have an opening, and I'll put my number in the chat box. I've been relieved of over 35 pounds, and I've been in the program, slipped a few times. I've been in the program for 11 months. So with that, Maureen, unless we have anybody on the phone, if we have anybody on the phone, press star six. Anybody that I missed as far as want to talk? All right, Maureen, go ahead. I think we're done.
Thanks, Carrie. This is Maureen. I joined traditional OA in March of 2019 and became sugar abstinent. Then I joined OA How in January of 2020, became fully abstinent, and have released 57 pounds so far. Clay feet. We should remember, is have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark him or her out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we all are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Who would like to share on the tool of anonymity?
This is Carrie. Give me just a second. Sorry. I was writing my name in the chat box.
Thanks, Carrie.
Okay. Anonymity. Sorry. Okay. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we place principles before personalities. It offers us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication means that we never allow our faces or names to be used once we identify ourselves as members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear in meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It's not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to admit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go. Without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. Fortunately for many of us, the OA rooms are the first place we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at the moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we're not told what we did wrong. We come to OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain and lovingly told, your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery. Recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that the program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a serious disease. Whom you hear here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
You're here.
You're here.
All right. Anonymity is something that I struggle with, especially as it talks about if their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. So what I think from that is that we as food addicts, compulsive over or under eaters, bulimics, whatever you are, overeaters. This disease kills us. And so I don't know how far to go in helping the person that calls me on the phone. Like, I don't know if I should, if somebody stop, like sponsees do this often where they get all excited, they're going to join the program, and 2 days in, you never hear from them again. So my thought is am I supposed to follow up with them? Because I know they're going to kill themselves if they don't get help. But you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So what I've decided to do is I've just decided to not contact those people. And I guess the thing that I can do for them is pray for them. Okay, so I wrote some notes down. Anonymity gives us the ability to practice. I always think it's a great place to practice things that we should have learned in kindergarten. For example, being okay with crying and laughing. One thing to remember when you are talking to different people in the program is that we don't get the well ones. We're all the same kind of crazy. We're all food addicts. And so I used to get really mad, especially if I got somebody on the phone who was really rude. And you'll get all sorts of people. But then I have to remember, I have to step back and say, okay, at least they're in the program. So maybe they're just having a bad day or something like that. And it's okay to talk to other people about that conversation that you had because it's anonymous. So nobody has any clue who I'm talking about. Sometimes I've been able to figure it out a little bit, but that doesn't mean that I tell the other person that I figured it out. I maintain the anonymity. I've also broken anonymity. Once I took a picture at a workshop and posted it on Telegram or WhatsApp, whatever we were using at the time. And I think with anonymity, mistakes are the best way to learn because once you break anonymity, you learn real quick what it is. Geographical anonymity is important in our program because we have people here on the West Coast, East Coast, and so it's pretty easy for us to figure. Also, we have people overseas, so it's pretty easy to figure out who you're talking to. So I try to keep geographical anonymity in mind. I also struggle with the fact that if I, I guess that's it. So with that, I will pass. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Carrie.
Would someone please share on the tool of telephone?
Hi, this is Kelly. I'm going to share on telephone.
Thanks, Kelly.
Sorry. Hey, Kelly. Thank you.
Let me find my reading here. Okay. Telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors and, as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. The phone was one of the hardest ones for me to admit that I needed. And when I started how, I thought, oh my goodness, how am I ever going to find time to fit in 3 phone calls when, oh my goodness, first of all, it doesn't take that long. And second of all, the time I was spinning my wheels on food and a million other things more than made up for my free time that I had to make phone calls. So they're just a wonderful gift during my day. Sometimes I talk to people that I talk to frequently. We know each other. We know what's going on. And then other times it's someone brand new that, you know, maybe we pull off of a list or with the directory or something. And you get to know someone brand new. We also have the app Telegram, which is wonderful because that's another thing. Sometimes I'm really good about getting my calls in early in the morning or I spread them out throughout the day. And then I'm going to be honest, sometimes it's 11 p.m. on the East Coast and I'm on Telegram like, help a girl out. I got to beat the clock. So either way, it's fine. It usually brings a few laughs and some good West Coast friends to help me out, but it doesn't happen that often. But
Anyway, there's always someone. And the best part about HOW members is we always pick up the phone. It just seems like it's really easy to get people because everyone needs their calls and I enjoy them. So it takes me out of myself. It takes me out of isolation and it gives me a whole new community of people to talk things through. And even if they don't know the whole situation, I can give them the rundown and they can either just listen or give some guidance from a 12-step point of view about how to connect with a higher power and stay on my side. So for that, I'm very grateful. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Would someone like to please share on the tool of meetings?
Hi, it's Christina. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Christina. Welcome.
Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. Okay, I'm Christina, I'm a compulsive overeater. And I think when I first came to program about 5 years ago, meetings seems like one of the easier tools to do compared to making calls to random people and following a really what seemed convoluted weighing and measuring system and some of the doing the reading and writing, which was all completely unfamiliar to me. Meetings seemed easy. It's like, oh, I just literally have to show up and sit there and like maybe read something. And I was living in Minnesota at the time. And so they were in person. So it was like especially easy to just show up and be there. And I was new, so everything seemed new. And I was like, wow, look at all this recovery. Never heard these readings before. Now, 5 years later, and also living in a place where I can't do in-person meetings, and obviously living in a time where we don't do in-person meetings, it's different. And so I've done some little like life hacks to make meetings fun for me and remind me that they're an act of self-love because I get to serve and I get to learn. And I get to be reminded of why I'm in this program. So I'm like a tea snob, like the worst kind. And there's one type of tea that's really expensive that I don't normally drink, but I allow myself to drink it at meetings to remind myself that this is an act of self-care and self-love being at this meeting. And I can treat myself with some tea because I'm treating myself by being at the meeting. And another thing I have been doing is just integrating my mindfulness and meditation practice into being in meetings. I don't know if you're like me, but I have so much going on in my life, deadlines for work, stresses, just life. And so being here in a meeting, I get to just be present in my body. I do deep breathing while I'm listening and while I'm participating. And when thoughts come in my mind, I just let them float out and remind myself, just like I'm reminding myself to come back to the breath, to come back to the meeting. And I'm never disappointed. There's always something that I'm so glad I was not multitasking for. I was not, you know, daydreaming or making lists in my head, but I was really present. So thanks for allowing me to participate.
Thanks, Christina.
Thanks, Christina.
Thanks, Christina.
Would someone please share on the tool of literature and writing?
Yes, hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut.
Hey, Ruth.
Hi. Tools 6 and 7, literature and writing. Literature, we study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, For Today for Daily Meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we've found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing.
In addition to writing our inventories and the list of people we've harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. Reading this just now reminded me of how much I appreciate the Howard disciplines, because I really have gotten through, I think, all of those books that were mentioned on that list. I've read them cover to cover now at this point. And at the beginning of my experience in OA, I bought a lot of books and had lots of literature, but I didn't read them very much. I'm working right now on a workbook type of book that I actually had. I just pulled it out to do something different. And it's interesting because it's a book that you can write in. And I had things in there from 10 years ago. So I came to OA House 14 years ago. But it was just interesting to see some of my answers from 10 years ago. Because usually I don't keep my journals and things. I get rid of them, but at some point I do get rid of them. That's just what was on my mind for now. But I think I do really appreciate being able to read it back to my sponsor. And I'm often surprised at what comes out when I do take the time to read and write. The one also thing that helps me, if you're new, is to have a specific time of day to do my reading and writing. And I have a timer set on my clock, and I just stop whatever I'm doing, and I know that that's when I have to go and do my reading and writing. And at the beginning, it does take longer than, say, 15 minutes to do your reading and writing, because some of those reading assignments are pretty long at the beginning. But now I'm pretty consistently do about 15 minutes in the morning, and I do some reading and writing in the evening also. I'm grateful for both of these tools, and thank you I'm grateful for the meeting to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ruth.
Yeah. Very good. Could we please have someone volunteer to discuss the tool of service?
Sure. Hi, everybody. This is Chaya P. in Denver, Colorado.
Hi,
Chaya.
Hi,
everybody. A tool of service, carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs in a live meeting, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have been so generously given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as the result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion, for this I am responsible. So thank you so much, everyone, for participating and doing service for this meeting. I'm always amazed at how many people it takes to run a meeting. And of course, just whether or not you read anything or share, just being here gives the new person hope, right? When, I don't know if any of you have ever been to a meeting where you walk in and there's like one person, right? Doesn't have the same feeling as when you walk into some of these 2-hour how rooms, now our virtual rooms, where there are so many people and there are so many sponsors, and it gives a new person hope. And I really feel that is what keeps all of us going, is hope, because I'll speak for myself. I have ups and downs in life, you know, and you get
you find out at a certain point, it's really not about the food, you know? And so just to be able to be there and have other people be there to support you is so huge. And that just takes each one of us, you know? It's kind of like I wear a mask, you wear a mask kind of thing, you know? And because it just supports all of us. I work in healthcare, so I have a particular feel for the mask situation. And so doing service is so great. There are so many opportunities. There's service on the very fundamental level, reaching out to newcomers, staying after to meet and, you know, to talk to a newcomer, taking phone calls, making phone calls. Then there's higher levels of service where you participate in the meeting, read something, then there, or lead the meeting or speak at the meeting. And then there's intergroup representatives, our virtual intergroup. There's positions on that. Howard, who like is behind the scenes of this meeting every week. And I just wanted to give a shout out. Thank you so much for all the service that you do, Howard. And don't, you know, jump in. If you're new and you haven't done any service, like on a big level. Okay, great. I'm getting a little thing, 1 minute left, that you do something. You will feel so good. It you know, the big book, I'll end with this. The big book says, when all else fails, go work with another alcoholic, right? When all else, it takes us out of ourselves. And that somehow is a spiritual thing that happens when you help another person. And so I'm very grateful to have been able to give service in this way. And again, thank you all of you for all the service that you give each week. Thanks.
Thank you, Chaya.
Thanks, Chaya.
Thanks. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service? Yay,
service.
Yay. Yay, service.
The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press *6 on your telephone's keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and best times to call. So do we have any newcomers who would like to introduce themselves?
Hi, I'm Cynthia. And let me, so you can see my video. Hi.
Hey,
I'm calling
Cynthia.
From the Seattle area. This is my, hi, so glad to be here. Really appreciate all the service and everything everyone has shared. So, and I have a sponsor. Yeah, thank you.
Welcome, Cynthia.
Welcome, Cynthia.
Nice.
Other newcomers?
Hi, sorry, I had trouble unmuting myself. Hi, I'm Benita. I tell you these technical issues. Hi, I'm Benita. I am in Dallas-Fort Worth, Central Standard Time. I am new and just wanted to say hi. I would love to receive phone calls. My number is 972-802-2827. Again, that's Benita, CST, 972-802-2827. Thanks.
Welcome, Benita.
Very nice.
Thanks, you guys.
I see Claire other with newcomers? Her hand raised. Here we go.
Claire.
Hi. There we go. Hi, my name is Claire. I am a newcomer. I've tried the regular OA program and unfortunately realized I need my food addictive behaviors and are much more than I support. I'm in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I don't have a sponsor, but I do have free long distance to the States and Canada. So if anyone is willing to maybe WhatsApp me and I can phone you, that would be great. My number is 780-904-6256. Thank you.
Welcome Claire. Glad you're
welcome,
here.
Claire. Claire.
Hi, this is Cynthia again. If I could give you my phone number, thanks. It's 206-334-5858.
Thank you, Cynthia. And it would be wonderful if all of the newcomers could also put this information in the chat for us and identify yourselves as newcomers so we know who you are and can contact you. Good. Do we have anyone else who would like to introduce themselves as a newcomer? Well, thank you, everyone. May we please have a treasurer's report? Do we have a treasurer's report?
Pounds Over Food. My name is Lewis.
Hey, Lewis.
I've had some challenges getting access to the accounts. I think I've overcome the issues in getting access to the accounts. Hopefully by the end of the week, I'll have access to the account and then I'll be able to report next week. So thank you for your patience and we'll get there.
Thanks for your service, Lewis. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. The promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of usefulness and self-pity will disappear. We'll lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. This is from the Big Book, pages 83 through 84. Are there any announcements? No announcements.
This is Carrie. I sent out the email and we are still looking for an intergroup representative. So if you're interested, please reply to the email.
Thank you, Carrie. Good. Any other announcements? Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resources page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It's now time for medallions. At How Meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the How program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Any man may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. So has anyone celebrating 10 or more years of abstinence now? Any celebrations of 6 to 9 years of abstinence? Anyone with 2 to 5 years? Months of abstinence. Anyone with 1 year of abstinence? Does anyone have 9 months of abstinence? How about 6 months? 3 months? 2 months? Is anyone celebrating 30 days of abstinence? 1 month.
I have 30 days.
Rena, congratulations.
Yay, Rena.
Yay, Rena. Way to go.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Very nice. Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations. Are there any participants who would like to receive a chip of desire for committing to abstinence? Is anyone interested in receiving this special medallion to help them on their journey to abstinence? All right, step-ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracle that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first 3 steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers. Remember to drink your water and reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups tonight?
Not tonight.
I don't think I saw any on the list. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. That's from the OA group handbook, page 10. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries tonight? Okay, attendees may sign up to celebrate their step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. Ah, it says I now qualify for 10 minutes. So maybe 5 minutes and 1 minute warning.
Sounds good, Marie.
All right, thank you. Oh, well, thank you all for allowing me to lead tonight. This is actually my first time leading, so I appreciate your patience. And I'd like to dedicate this talk to my OA House sponsor, who has lovingly helped me to complete all 12 steps of the program now. It's my first time through the program. My focus for the next few minutes is on the benefits of emotional excavation that I found. About 8 years ago, I went to a counselor because I was tired of being depressed, overweight, and stuck. I was so stuck. I have no idea, just, you know, that day-to-day not moving anywhere. This was quite unusual for me because I grew up mostly happy, mostly a normal weight, and always ambitious. The counselor had me take the Enneagram personality test. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it looks like this. Hang on a minute. So that's the Enneagram. I like personality tests. So for me, this, I always find I learn something or learn about people when I do these. I found out I'm a 3, which is an achiever, and I have a helper wing, which made sense to me because, you know, I'm very driven and I like to help people. But there was one thing that absolutely shocked me about the Enneagram, and that is, I'm not sure if you could see it right here, You see where it says three and then it says feeling heart? That I was shocked at because I've always thought of myself as just very much up in my head. But this was telling me that emotions were extremely important for my personality type. And I had always thought, oh, I'm very analytical, intellectual, you know, my mind controls my emotions. But apparently I was very wrong. And I had been denying and repressing my emotions for many years. I used food to stuff my emotional pain, fears, anger, frustration, disappointment, and doubt deep inside so that I could ignore and just trudge on. Don't have to think about those emotions at all. They're safely tucked in. But of course, this was not a good strategy because it went against my very nature. I also learned that I'm empathic. I have a strong emotional sensitivity, which is a very good asset when I'm communicating and interacting with others. But it meant that my husband's depression, he's clinically depressed, great guy, but clinically depressed, and it really affected me a lot. I had no defenses for his sadness and his negative emotions, so I internalized an awful lot of them. However, even after gaining these insights about my emotional nature, I still overate and self-medicated with food because knowledge alone is not healing. After spending a few more years trying various diets and reading self-help books, I finally knew that I needed outside help. My breaking point was early last year when I could not, for the life of me, stop eating an entire bag of kettle corn. One of the big ones. The next morning I Googled overeating and Overeaters Anonymous popped up. Yay, research. Thank goodness. Because then I was able to find a wonderful local traditional OA group and I became sugar abstinent. But it wasn't until I joined OA How this past January that I became fully abstinent and found a sponsor, meal plan, meeting, and fellowship that has opened me to God's loving will and to true healing. Besides having a sugar addiction, much of my binge eating was related to negative emotions, fear, and stress. I found that in steps 4 through 7, putting together the inventory and really examining that and bringing that to God, this provided the emotional excavation that I needed to bring my flaws, fears, and anger into the sunlight so I could acknowledge them and give them to God. These steps allowed me to feel these emotions, which was so liberating. Yes, I cried at times because I cry when I'm angry. But tears are cleansing, and after feeling so numb for so many years, I felt lighter and joyful when the tears flowed. What did I discover during my emotional excavations? I learned that fear is a stronger force in my life than I suspected. I actually identified 7 kinds of fear that have been driving me. I learned that my need to control everyone and everything is based in fear. I learned that I had much more anger still lingering inside of me than I realized, even from people who had died decades ago. And I finally understood that in order to heal and live in serenity according to God's will, I need to surrender everything to God, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Many of my flaws and fears were crutches that I used to limp through life. They were just excuses. I needed to lay those flaws and fears aside, just give those crutches to God, and walk this journey fully enabled by and with God. I'm actually really eager to do these 12 steps again. There are additional levels of emotional excavation that I'm eager to do. Because with each level uncovered, I am more deeply healed by the grace of God and by the support of all of you. And I want to especially thank all of you for your loving service and support during these meetings and during the phone calls. I feel very blessed to be part of this group. And with that, I pass. At this time, I would like to introduce Lewis, who is our guest speaker and who qualifies for 20 minutes.
Thank you, Maureen. I'm Prowess Over Food. My name is Lewis, and really appreciate your share, Maureen. That was very rich. Thank you very much.
Lewis, it's Sheila. How would you like your timing?
Yeah, could you ping me at 5 minutes and then 1 minute?
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm very grateful, recovering compulsive overeater and powerless over food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. And it's important to give you background, my childhood, because that's when my addiction started. My father was an alcoholic. My mother was an untreated compulsive overeater. And both of them were untreated bipolar. So I grew up in crazy town. And I believe that my addictive personality, my addiction began when the sperm hit the egg. And the other thing that kind of hit me at that time as well, you know, is my nature is that I am intense. I think things and feel things a lot more intensely than people that don't have this illness. And I'm so grateful to this fellowship because you all, you know, I'm not alone with that. And I have great comfort in knowing that there are other intense people out there as well. One of the things that I've reflected on recently in preparing for this is that there are two great miracles that Hal has given me. The first is the physical abstinence from food. And the second is the spiritual experience, that the spiritual awakening that we're given as a result of practicing the steps of this program. So my journey in recovery has been essentially a journey into the moment, because the moment is the only place I can find God. It's the only place that where life truly happens is in the moment. And one of the things that happened when I was growing up was I suffered a great deal of abuse. You know, all kinds of abuse, any type of abuse you can imagine I suffered. And one of the challenges I had as a child was facing that the abuse happened in the moment. And so in order to survive that abuse, I had to shield myself from the moment. And there were three spiritual dilemmas that hit me when I was young. And obviously this is all in retrospect. One is that I, as a human being, yearn to belong, but I don't know how to. I didn't know how to belong. The other thing was I crave stability. I lived in such a chaotic home that all I wanted was stability in my life. And then the third thing was that discomfort is bad and comfort is good. Although I certainly had some comfort growing up, most of my experience, though, was in discomfort because of the abuse that I received. So when I was six, I fell and got a brain injury. And during the convalescence, and I went to had surgery, and during the convalescence of that surgery, I became aware that my parents just were not there for me. And I was in despair. And it was then that I discovered food. And immediately I gained weight. And the nurses intervened because I gained so much weight so quickly. They said they started restricting the amount of food that I could take because they were concerned about how quickly I gained weight. So thereafter, throughout my entire childhood, I was overweight, and I was the taunt of jokes. I got physically abused a lot by my peers. because of my weight, I was uncoordinated. So it was really, really tough. And what happened was that at age 11, I became a drug addict and an alcoholic. And at age 12, I began smoking cigarettes. So the combination of all that became such a greater focus for me. Even though I would still binge on food, the food kind of took a back seat to these other addictions that I had. So I was able to lose some weight in this period of time because I was far more concerned about my other addictions than I was with food. So I got sober when I was 22. And one of the things that I learned in my adolescence going into my early sobriety was that exercise and restricting were ways in which I could control my weight. And I it worked really well. So any given year, I would yo-yo about 150 pounds through that period of time. And I got sober when I was 22, and I was still doing that. And at 23, I decided to quit smoking cigarettes. And that's when the weight really started becoming a lot more out of control for me. And a few years after that, I decided that I was going to stop doing all this yo-yoing, and I was going to learn how to quote-unquote eat normally. And only an addict would say something, well, I'm going to start learning how to eat normally when I was 29 years old. I mean, just crazy. So I then gained about 100 pounds. And I got to about 290 pounds. And it was during that period of time that I got married, had kids, and I would get winded going up the stairs. I remember hearing someone in these rooms share about what they call the golden triangle between the refrigerator, the TV, and the bathroom. And that was pretty much my life. I'd go to work and then come home and just eat. That's all I did, was just eat around the clock. And it was a miserable, miserable life. And it was that, and then at the end of my eating, I went and did this medical program at a hospital, and they were treating diabetes there. And we took shakes, and in about 6 to 7 month period of time, I lost about 90 pounds. And then what hit the back of my head was, gee, I've been so good, I need to treat myself. And that created a binge, and it took about 18 months to gain that weight back. I did that hospital program again after about 2 years after that, and again lost the 80-90 pounds. But this time, I when I said I'm going to give myself a treat, I gained 65 pounds in 3 weeks. So, and I was just terrified of that. And what happened was that someone from this program came and visited me, and I was in such misery at that point in time. They were radiating not only the physical abstinence, but that peace of mind and the emotional and spiritual abstinence and fullness that we get. Their eyes were aglow, and we talked. And she said, come to a meeting. And I went to a meeting, and the scales fell off my eyes, because it was just I felt like I'd come home. You know, I could so relate to what was being shared. I could so relate to the recovery, and that's really what I wanted was to recover from this. The issue with the recovery from Hal for me has been, the first time I went through it, I got abstinent, I did a step up, I had about 10 months of really strong abstinence, and then I did not realize at the time, but I was addicted to flour, and flour got me right back out. And so the other thing too that was challenging for me is I'd spent years in AA, and I had thought that credits transferred from one program to another, and they don't. It took me a long time of slipping and relapsing in this program to understand that although my experience of God in AA was sufficient enough to get me sober, and it was a miracle to do that, it was insufficient for me to get abstinent. So one of the most remarkable things about OA How for me is that you all taught me I have to develop a unique relationship with this God, because ultimately, unless I do so, I'm going to go back out. And I have 13 years of coming in and out of this program as an example of, you know, thinking that credits could transfer. And I just kept going back out and coming back in, going back out. So what happened is, back in January of last year, the pain was so horrific. I was my marriage was on the rocks. I was getting unemployable because of this disease, and so I finally surrendered and have been coming back for that period of time. So one of the things that's been remarkable to me about practicing the tools and steps is that, first of all, it's resolved my spiritual dilemmas. I belong here, you know, and the we of the first step and is what the steps are about. Is to me, practicing the steps is all about learning what it means to be a part of we, learning what it means to belong to others, learning what it means to be accountable to others. And it's in this experience that I have an experience of God. The stability that I was craving for, I get in this program through the repetition of the daily practice of the tools and steps that I get. That's given me tremendous stability in my life. And my life is manageable today because of that. I have sanity, which is something that, you know, for years I was in AA practicing the steps, and I couldn't get the manageability part of this of the steps because I was practicing an active addiction. And it was only when I surrendered to the program and practiced the tools and steps that my life became truly transformed. And in terms of the comfort and discomfort, one of the things I've learned, and this has been one of the hardest aspects of the program for me, is that although I lived with the belief that discomfort is bad and comfort is good for years, I've learned in this program that both are neither, that comfort and discomfort are different states of experience that I have in which I can experience God. And what you all have taught me is, due to the practice of the tools and steps, is that really comfort and discomfort are the same thing. Because ultimately, they show me and they challenge me to make that choice of God first. My relationship with a higher power has been the most profound thing that I've gotten in this program, because ultimately it is through the stability of God's love that I can truly give my life into service. And I'll give an example in the pandemic. Going into this pandemic, I became unemployed, and facing all of the uncertainty of the pandemic, facing all of the unemployment that was going on at the time, and on the contraction of the job market, the discomfort in me was greatly elevated. And what had happened going into the pandemic was that I'd done a fourth and fifth step on my work issues. And so I was in step 6 and 7, and I had tremendous discomfort going into this. I live with a wife and two kids, and my wife does financial planning for a living, and she's responsible for 40 plus clients and their life savings. So she had to be a rock of stability for her clients, and which took a toll on her. And my kids started doing the distance learning, which took a toll on emotional toll on them. So the challenge for me in this program was I had to be of service to them. And one of the things I've learned about the 12th step is that I gain the inner stability through practicing the previous steps of the program, and that stability gives me sanity. And what I've also learned is that in order to be truly of service to my family, I had to present a safe disposition of hospitality towards them so that they could be who they wanted to be and that I could meet them where they were at. And I saw this in how you all treated me. So I was able to convey that to them. And it was tough through a lot of this because I felt very unstable, but I leaned on the higher power and leaned into you all and used the tools. And that's what gave me the stability so that I could be of service to my family. And one of the things both my sons acknowledged to me a little while ago was that it's been a challenging time for them, but the experience of family has been far richer than what we had beforehand. And so that to me is the miracle of recovery, because I had an intuition going into this, knowing full well that we had an opportunity to do this, and that this is an opportunity where we can bond in ways that we never could before. And so that's not something that would come to me naturally. That's something that you all have taught me. And so today I am so profoundly grateful to be in this program. The other great gift you all have given me is in the plan of eating. It states that I must abstain from negative thinking. And I've put that as part of my daily practice, that is one of the most important things I can do. And along with gratitude, my heart is leavened each day. Each day is an adventure. And I look on the day with a sense of wonder of how grateful I am for this gift of abstinence. It is such a rich, rich life. I got a job within a month of the pandemic. It's a great job, and my relationship with my family is doing extremely well. The steps and the tools have healed all that. And most importantly is that I now can act in fidelity to spiritual principles in a stable, consistent manner, something I was never able to do before. And you all teach me in here that spiritual principles are the guardrails to God's love. And that if I practice spiritual principles, then I'm not going to get knocked off the path to away from God's will. So I rarely know what God's will is, but I do know that if I perform service and that in that experience, I frequently get a feeling of God within my heart. And more often than not, after the experience, I recognize God's hand in the process. So this program promises a happy and useful life. And that I've received in here. And I keep coming back because the tools and steps are spiritual hygiene, which keep me focused on doing God's will on a daily basis to the best of my ability, and seeing all of the interactions that I have with people as an opportunity of service and an opportunity where I can channel God's love in the gratitude that I have for being given this immense, immense gift of abstinence. You all have given me the blessing of this wonderful life that I have today. Through my finding God in a cup, and it's truly a miracle. And I'm so, so grateful for all that you all have given me. And I hope at some point in time I can give back even a shred of something of all that you all have given me. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lewis.
Thanks,
Lewis. Thank you, Lewis.
The floor is now open for 3-minute pitches or sharing. And it looks like we have enough for at least one share tonight. In HOW meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch? Please turn on your camera and unmute yourselves.
Hello, this is Deirdre. I've got my camera and my voice working at the same time.
Deirdre,
thanks so much. Welcome.
Hi, welcome again.
Yes, compulsive overeater. Yes, thank you so much, Lewis. And I can't remember your name. You're hosting.
Maureen.
What is your Maureen? Thank you so much. I read this reading a couple of weeks back, and it so pertains to what you were sharing. It's from For Today, January 12th. It says, my food addiction was acquired so I could survive and cope in earlier painful circumstances. Thus began two myths. First, that pain was to be avoided at all costs. And second, that eating would relieve the pain free of charge. These myths were useful then, but they are insanity today. As I become willing to accept the truth that is revealed to me in this program, the myths I clung to so desperately lose credibility. I no longer need to be anesthetized. I can stand still and feel my feelings. I don't think something is wrong if I'm not happy every minute. For today, the more I accept the reality of what is, the more comfortable and serene my life becomes. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Deirdre.
Thank you, Deirdre.
It looks like we have time for one more share. Does anyone else have something on their mind or heart they'd like to share?
Yes, I would.
Oh, okay, Bryn.
Yeah, you know, when I told Lewis, when you were sitting there, you told my story almost, because I was raised by an abusive single mom who was hooked on barbiturates. Of course, they didn't have tranquilizers, but later it was tranquilizers. I was ridiculed in school for my weight. I found comfort in food. Matter of fact, when in kids, we had a hot lunch program at the school. I'd eat their lunches, the Finnick eaters, I'd eat theirs too, and they'd give it to me. And I was overweight. I was ridiculed by the other kids and even some adults. One hurt my feelings one time, but this was in a Catholic school, grade school. I walked in from lunch one day, and this priest was teaching catechism. I walked in, and he says, "Oh, hello, Toby. That Toby, you're fatty. I don't know what he taught, forgot, but it hurt anyway." But I had to listen to that all my life. When I got married, my wife kind of killed me with kindness. I went up to 400 some pounds, and my highest weight was 554 pounds. I just, in the last few years, because of the program, we gave away 335 pounds of it. But getting back to Lewis, you told my story. I'll probably one day hope I can give mine one day. But, you know, I lost jobs. I was unemployable. I was on the charity of others. I learned the resentment from my family, my son. And it's, so I know, you know, of course, I went through some different things than you, but, you know, We're almost twins, Lewis. So there's addiction. So with that, I will pass. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Bryn, for sharing.
Thank you, Bryn.
I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting. I also thank all who participated, especially our speaker, Lewis, who offered so much of himself. Thanks again.
Thank you, Lewis.
Yeah, thank you, Lewis.
Yay. May we please have the reading of Just for Today. Rena? Do you need to be unmuted?
Okay, I got it. It wasn't working at first. Okay, great. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I'll not be a mental loafer. I'll read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I'll do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests: hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Raina. Closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that's been said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join me in saying the Serenity Prayer? Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. But first, if we could have a moment of silent prayer for those still suffering.
God,
Thanks, everyone.
Service. God bless you. Thank you all.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks, Maureen. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Good, Mike.
Bye.
God bless you all.
Joining us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Howard.
Thank you for your service.
Thanks, Marlene. Thanks, Louis. Great job.
Thank you.